Open in your testaments, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. We want to begin our reading at verse 16 and read through verse 18. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Do not have this entire text on the chart, but I want to bring it before your mind's eye. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that, in order that or so that, those who enter may see the light. Well, that only makes sense. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel. That is, doesn't put a bushel on it, doesn't put a basket on top of it, doesn't put it underneath the bed. What's the purpose of a light? A light is provided so people are able to see, comprehend, understand. Verse 17. For nothing is secret or hidden that will not be revealed. Of course, Jesus is speaking about His Word here. He has been asked earlier in the context why it is He speaks in parables. Some people believe that Jesus spoke in parables in order to hide the truth from people. But the truth that seemed to be hidden was not hidden. It was not secret. Jesus, as the light of the world, illuminates. No one hides their light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, or anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. He has reference to His revelation, has reference to His Word. All that seems to be hidden, all that seems to be secret, is going to be revealed. It's going to come to light. It's going to be made known. And then He says in verse 18, Luke 8, in verse 18, therefore take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. What's he talking about? I know we've all heard the phrase, the rich gets richer and the poor gets poorer. Well, Jesus is not talking about wealth or possessions here, but he's talking about spiritual understanding. He's speaking about spiritual knowledge. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has understanding and comprehension of that which he hears, to him more will be given. If he understands the word, if he comprehends what is being taught, guess what? You're going to be able to understand more. And whoever does not have, the one who does not have an understanding, does not have a proper comprehension of the word, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. That's why he says, take heed how you hear. The way of Christ was prepared by a preacher. Matthew 3, and in verse 1, and following in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To preach is to herald, to announce, to proclaim the word of God. The message, of course, did not originate with John the Baptizer, did not originate with any of Jesus' apostles in the first century. It originated with God. And they were to be faithful in their obligation to proclaim, announce, and herald that message to the people of the world. Now, God could have chose some other means to make His word available, but He didn't. He chose the method of preaching to bring about the salvation of mankind. Mark 16 and verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who hears the gospel and is baptized will be saved. So Jesus chose the proclamation of the word. He chose the preaching of the word to make His salvation known. Luke 24 and in verse 46. He said to them in Luke's account of the Great Commission, thus it is written and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name. No, it was necessary. It had to happen, is the idea in the word. Preaching. was God's plan to bring about the salvation of man. Through the message, through the sermon presented in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, "For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached. Message preached is all one word in the Greek. It simply means through the sermon or the message that is being proclaimed or announced. And effective preaching demands responsive hearing as well, just as much as it does a faithful proclamation of it. Those who herald the word, announce the word, have to be faithful in proclaiming that word. They have to be true to the word. But those who hear that word have to be careful how they hear. Why is it they have to be careful how they hear? Because you're not hearing for yourself only. You're hearing for the others whom you will enlighten and illuminate their minds with the truth. So you're not hearing for yourself. Remember, as you come to have an understanding and comprehension of the word, as you hear it being proclaimed and announced, your understanding and comprehension of that word is lived out in your life in obedience. And then, because God requires all of us to teach that word, then see, you're not hearing for yourself. You're hearing for yourself that you might come to a greater understanding. The more understanding you have, the more understanding you'll get. And you'll be able to enlighten others. You'll be able to illuminate their minds with the truth. You'll be able to lead them out of the darkness of sin. Effective preaching demands responsive hearing. Let's note the importance of the hearer. The hearer must help produce powerful, effective, life-changing preaching. All the responsibility in proclaiming the gospel, announcing and heralding the gospel, cannot be laid on the preacher's shoulder or your shoulder as you announce it or teach it to others. The hearer has some responsibility in making that message powerful, in making it effective, in making it to bring about changes in the one's life who hears it. I know that to be true because Jesus, the greatest preacher who has ever walked upon the earth, couldn't do it all by himself. Isaiah 13 and in verse 14, not Isaiah, Matthew. He quotes here from Isaiah 6, verse 9 and 10. Matthew 13 and verse 14. "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, insensitive." That is, the truth of God's word does not penetrate. "Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes." Remember what that word "see" means in the context. "Perceive, comprehend, and understand with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them." So Jesus, being the greatest preacher ever walked this earth, had to have some help in the proclamation of the word to make it effective. That is, he had to have people who would pay attention to how they hear, give heed to how they hear. Now, one today could say, "Preacher, you better make this lesson a good one, because I have many important things that could engage my thinking." Well, the one who would have that attitude or disposition lays all the responsibility for the sermon or the message from God's word upon the preacher and takes no responsibility upon himself. But the hearer has responsibility in the message being preached. The hearer is the one who makes the message powerful. He makes it effective. He makes it life-changing when he responds in obedience to the word. Now, there's some results of placing all the responsibility on the preacher for powerful and effective and life-changing sermons. If we place all the responsibility on the preacher for the effectiveness of the sermon, then preaching then becomes a competitive performance. That is, the preacher is seen as putting on a performance, and that he's competing in some way. And from that is produced envy and jealousy from other preachers, because their performance is not as good. And is that not what we have a lot in the religious world today? Some preachers' performance, they just can't put on the performance that others put on, because people have laid all the responsibility for effective and powerful sermons upon the preacher himself. Another result of placing all the responsibility on the preacher is that the pulpit then is a place to compete with the entertainment world, because people see the preaching of the word as a performance. Thus, it's made to compete with the world of entertainment. And so in the denominational world, things have become more sensational and more sensational, because they're competing, because they've laid all the results of powerful, effective preaching upon the preacher, and the hearer takes no responsibility. But sermons, which are scriptural discourses, are not ends in themselves. They're designed to accomplish something. They're designed with a purpose in mind. They're not an exhibition of one's talent simply to be observed by some kind of curious spectators. They're lessons designed to enlighten, to stir, to inform, to save. Sermons should comfort those who are afflicted with sin, with the message of mercy and grace and the forgiveness of those sins. But sermons should also afflict those who are comfortable in sin, and convict them and cause them to feel guilty in regard to their ungodliness. Let's consider the emphasis on the hearing in the parable of the sower. Let's read this very quickly. Luke 8 and in verse 4 and following. Now when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city, he spoke a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," that is, let him obey. Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the secrets of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parable, seeing that they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, and those who enter may see. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Well, as we look at the emphasis on the hearing in this parable of the sower, we want to first note that there was nothing wrong with the seed at all, because it was the word of God. But what's wrong in the parable? It's not the seed. It is the very word of God, the very breath of God. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 4 and in verse 12 that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. James 1 and verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and all flow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to do what? It has the ability to save your soul. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with it because it is the very word of God. Well, what was the problem then? Well, it was not the sower. It was not the sower who so often gets the blame. Is that not the way it is? No responsibility for hearing, it's the preacher's fault. Sometimes it is. But remember, the hearer shares in the responsibility of the message that is being proclaimed. So it was not the word's problem. It was not a problem with the word, nor was it a problem with the sower. In this parable, the real problem was the hearer. Now, we refer to this parable as the parable of the soils or the parable of the sower. Some have perhaps rightly identified it as the responsibility of the hearers, because that's who's being addressed in this parable. How one hears, because the hearing is urgent. Luke 8 and in verse 8. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We've seen this on several occasions. Everyone has ears. And what are ears for the purpose of? Ears are for the purpose of hearing and then obeying. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The last word, hear, doesn't have reference to hearing audibly. It has reference to obedience. He who has ears. We all have ears and we have them for the purpose of hearing. Once we hear, we have a responsibility. What is that responsibility? To obey. So hearing is urgent business. Let's notice how the hearers here are described and warned in this parable. First we have the hearer with the shut man. In verse 12, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of his heart. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Note they hear, but they don't hear in such a way that they come to comprehend and understand, because their minds are closed, their minds are shut. One's mind could be closed because of their pride, their arrogance, their haughtiness. I'm not going to listen to you. You know, sometimes children become that way with their parents. They adopt a haughty and arrogant attitude sometimes. Well, I'm just not going to listen. Mother, dad wants me to do this, I'm going to do right opposite. Well, sometimes that's the way hearers of the word are. Because of their pride and arrogance, they simply resist that which is being taught. They close their mind to it. They're unteachable. One's mind also may be closed by the fear of learning new truth. Think about that. Sometimes, and I've seen this in the church, that which is false, teaching that is not in harmony with the context, is repeated over and over and over, years and years in the church. And it comes to be the truth to people. But in all actuality, it's false. And then when someone tries to teach what the passage actually teaches, people don't want to accept it because it's new truth to them. Never heard it. Their minds are closed to any new truth. If it's not what I've heard in times past, it cannot be true. They're like the hearers. The devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart because their minds are closed to learning new truth. Then we have in the parable of the soils, or the responsibility of the hearers, we have a hearer who fails to think things out in verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. who believe for a little while and in time of temptation they fall away. So the one who fails to think things out will not reason and reckon that though he's received the word with joy, he has to grow. He has to let that word take root in his life. It has to be able to produce fruit, result from that word. But he only believes for a little while because when temptation comes, he falls away. He's not taking it seriously enough. Then we have the hearer with excessive interest in life. Verse 14, Luke 8. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. So these hearers have a problem as well. Preacher, you better make it good. I've got a lot of other things on my mind. And then we have the hearer with a good and honest heart in verse 15. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. They bring forth 100-fold. Well, how should we hear then? Well, one should not be, first of all, an indifferent hearer. That is, one who is unconcerned and uninterested in the message or the sermon that is being presented. Because James 1 and verse 21 says that message is able to save your soul if he's preaching the Word of God. So we cannot be an indifferent hearer. We cannot adopt the attitude that what he has to say makes no difference in my life, because it is the very Word of God. Acts 10 and verse 33, Cornelius said to Peter when he came, "So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." What did Cornelius want to do? He just wanted to hear? No, he wanted to hear and then respond in obedience. He had ears to hear, and he wanted to hear. He wanted to obey all that God had for him, all that God had commanded him. So let's not be an indifferent hearer, one unconcerned and uninterested in what is being said. Let's also not be a capsus hearer, a fault finder, one who is overcritical of the message that is being proclaimed, because we'll adapt an attitude of, well, you can't tell me anything, an attitude of arrogance. An attitude of, well, I'm just not going to listen to that teacher, that Bible class teacher, that preacher. Be like the children who will not listen to their parents. Proverbs 5 and verse 12. And say, how I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teacher nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. Why? Because he's a fault finder, overcritical. Just look at the one who's trying to tell me how to live my life. Just look at the one. Just think about the message that he is proclaiming and the attitude and disposition that he takes as he presents the word. Fault finding and overcritical here. We should not be. We should also not be a forgetful hearer, as James tells us in James 1 and verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You know, the word is like a mirror. We're able to look into it and we see ourselves. And when we see ourselves in a light that is unfavorable, we need to make correction in our life. It's like the man who looks in the mirror in the morning and sees that he needs to wash his face and shave his face, but yet he goes away from the mirror and makes no correction. He deceives himself. Well, I look all right. James 1 and in verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. So we should not be an indifferent hearer. We should not be a fault finding hearer. We should not be a forgetful hearer. And we should not be a hearer with itching ears either. 2 Timothy 4 and in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Because they have itching ears. Itching ears used metaphorically as reference to the tickling of one's ear. But one wants his ear itched. He wants it scratched. So it'll be pleasing and soothing. That is, he wants to hear pleasing and soothing things. He doesn't want to hear a message that you'll go to hell if you don't do what God says. Doesn't want to hear that message. He only wants to hear things that are pleasing to him. Well, how should one hear? Well, one should hear in order, first and foremost, to understand. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. As one presents a message, as one presents a Bible class, it is the very Word of God. If one is faithful to the mission that he's carrying out. If you're teaching and speaking with someone about spiritual matters, you should be faithful about those matters you're discussing. They should be in harmony with the truth of God's Word. But the people who are hearing should hear with the intent of understanding what is being said. Luke 8 and in verse 8, he who has ears to hear. Let him obey, because we hear in order to understand that we might obey the commands of God. That's the whole purpose of hearing. That we might obey and be saved. Now one might give careful attention to the lesson. And should. In spite of the noise perhaps in the building, in spite of the heat, in spite of the time, in spite of other obstacles that might prevent him from hearing. He needs to give heed to how he hears. He needs to pay careful attention to the message that is being presented. And sometimes he may have to overcome mental laziness. Mental laziness. That is, he's just lazy in regard to hearing. Sometimes we stress our bodies to the point, or sometimes our health is not as sound as it could be. And we have health problems that prevent us sometimes from hearing the way we should. And we have to do what we can to overcome that. But to be mentally lazy, that is to not listen with the intention of understanding, not listening with the intention of comprehending what is being said. Mental laziness, we need to get over it. We need to each one strive to examine and explore the lesson that is being presented. Because the lesson that is being presented has an aim. It has a purpose. There's an intent in that lesson. We need to try to consider what the main points of the lesson are. There's a paper that, through the help of Brother Pike, was produced. It's in the foyer. Lessons you learned from your worship. It has places on the page in which you could list the main points of the lesson. The passages that are being used. Words that are of interest to you and that have influenced you in some way, or words that you need further study of, or verses you want to remember. All of that. So that you'll get something out of the worship. So you'll get something out of the message that is being presented. And so note-taking often helps one to scrutinize and to examine the lesson. Not to scrutinize and examine the lesson to find out where the preacher was wrong. Not to scrutinize and examine in such a way as if the preacher is performing. And he doesn't meet up to your expectations as a performer. But you're scrutinizing and examining the message itself. And saying, how can I make application to that in my life? That's how we should hear. In the hearing of spiritual truth, there's a law of action and reaction. That says, for whoever has, to him more will be given. If you have a comprehension and understanding of God's Word, the more you hear, the more understanding of God's Word you'll have. If you take heed how you hear. But if you're indifferent in regard to hearing, if you're fault-finding and overcritical of the one who's doing the speaking, if you're a forgetful hearer, or just a hearer with itching ears, wanting to hear something pleasing and pleasant and not the message that is being spoken at the time, what you have will even be taken from you. So what's our attitude and disposition toward hearing? Do we share? Do we feel as though we share in the responsibility of making a sermon, a Bible class, an invitation at the end of service? Do we feel as though we share in that some way as the hearer and make that message, whether it be short or whether it be long, powerful and effective and life-changing? We must believe the Word of God and we must obey it. And the only way we can do that is to be aware of how we hear. Give heed to how you hear. Because we all have ears for the purpose of hearing, that we might obey. James 1 and verse 21. The message we hear is able to save our soul. And Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him, that is, condemns him. The word that I have spoken will judge or condemn him in the last day." He who rejects me, the one who does not believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and does not receive my word. How do you receive his word? You receive it through the teaching. You receive it through the reading of it. And then you obey it. To receive his word means you hear and obey it. So he who rejects me, the one who does not believe in me, and the one who does not believe and obey my word, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will condemn him in the last day. The message is yours. If you're here this evening, you're not the kind of hearer that the Bible requires, then make changes in your life to become that way. If you're not a child of God to begin with, through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, you can become one this evening. If you've obeyed the gospel in times past and become a child of God, but yet you have sin in your life as a Christian, repent of that sin. Confess that sin. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.